Day three of the Farm Progress Show here in Decatur, Illinois. And we're in the FMC tent. Weed control has been a hot topic of discussion here at FPS 19. And we're going to learn today what the experts at FMC are recommending to keep the doggone weeds under control.
Live from the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, Chip comes to us from the FMC booth, where he will talk with filmmaker Sam Goldberg, then a conversation with Bill Lee and Dave Luce from the Illinois Corn Growers Association, and Matt Youngman from Farm Progress will probably check in at some point. And right after the news, Greg Henderson from Drover's talking beef. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Did you say filmmaker?
Filmmaker, yes.
Filmmaker.
You
really?
Betcha.
Yeah. Yes.
We don't
Sam
get a whole,
Goldberg.
We don't get a whole lot of filmmakers on the show.
No, we don't. We certainly don't. But we're going to be talking with Sam Goldberg, Blood Orange Pictures.
Yeah.
And they've got an independent film out there called Silo.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I'm not gonna be a spoiler on the conversation that we're going to have with Sam, but it's got a very important message in there for a lot of people, and it's something that, way too many families, way too many communities across the country have had to deal with over many years, and we'll get into the conversation with Sam. I'm really curious why they decided to do this film, and why a New York-based film production company would be interested in doing it. And, of course,
well, I've got a theory. I mean, when I've got a hefty thirst, you know, a silo is just the trick to bat that thirst back. You know what I mean?
I think it might be a different silo.
Different kind of silo?
Yeah, that could be a different silo than what you're thinking. Yeah. And, of course, the guys from Illinois Corn Growers.
Yes.
There's been a lot of news that has been very quickly developing here this week, and with the big hitters that we've had at the Farm Progress Show, namely, USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue was here yesterday, and while he was on the stage, he got a phone call from President Trump. And
oh, boy.
President Trump, yeah. President Trump spent about 5, 6, 7 minutes talking, delivering a message to the people there at the in attendance about what he has done for American agriculture.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we'll see what the guys from the Illinois Corn Growers think about it. Hey,
sure,
we've got a lot to cover today. Let's jump right into it.
Well, Chip, a spokesman for China's Ministry of Commerce has commented, quote, "We firmly reject an escalation of the trade war and are willing to negotiate and collaborate in order to solve this problem with a calm attitude." This after China threatened retaliation for the increased tariffs threatened by President Trump. Those are due to come into effect on September 1. While there has been little, if any, progress in negotiations in recent weeks, the more dovish tone from China did boost equities around the world, as watchers believe the tone of negotiations may be changing to allow more productive talks. Right. Chip, U.S. Secretary of Ag Sonny Perdue has called the EPA's 31 small refinery exemptions, quote, unfortunate. Perdue says the president also plans to announce steps to encourage biofuel demand growth. Perdue noted the president hopes to make an announcement and detail specifics somewhere in the Corn Belt, but no word on when or where that might be. I guess we'll just be looking for the president to travel to corn country,
right,
and then we'll know something's up.
And we'll know that something is up. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, and you can't just increase the blending mandate.
Right.
And expect it to fix everything when you're still going to be issuing the small refinery exemptions.
Right.
And if you're going to issue this, the way that you, quote unquote, fix this problem is reallocate those lost blending requirements. We got to do that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, in wake of the recent fire at a Holcomb, Kansas Tyson processing facility, USDA says it plans to launch an investigation into recent beef packing margins. Ag Secretary Perdue says his agency wants to find out if there is evidence of collusion or restricted competition within the packing industry. USDA Undersecretary Greg Ibach noted, "We've seen more cattle go through the harvest process in the last 2 weeks than we saw previous to the Kansas fire." Chip, we've got Greg Henderson from Drover's on the line. Greg, I just read a quote from Undersecretary Ibach about the investigation into these packing margins. Let me just read the rest of this quote for you quickly, and then we'll get your thoughts. Ibach says, we've seen beef prices go up at the same time we've seen fat cattle prices go down. Greg Henderson from Drovers, USDA wouldn't be scrutinizing this if it wasn't cause for concern now, would they?
Yeah, absolutely. The spread has widened dramatically. Box beef prices went up $25 a hundredweight, which is an enormous in the 2 weeks after the fire. At the same time, cash cattle prices dove about $5 or $6. So that led to packer margins, which are somewhere around $490 a head last week, according to the Sterling Beef Profit Tracker. That's exceptionally wide, probably his, you know, I don't remember a time we've ever seen anything close to that. Keep in mind, packers were making about $150 in the week prior to the fire. So these events have led to, you know, exorbitant profits for them and given cattle producers less money. So one thing that's about the slaughter numbers you just mentioned, there is historical data that suggests 14 of the last 20 years we've seen those slaughter numbers go up during that two-week period in mid-August. So there is some evidence there, but overall, it looks like, you know, but it's not a good situation for them to be
but,
in.
But Greg, nobody expected us to see that seasonal increase in slaughter that we saw because we lost the Holcomb plant. Everybody thought it's going to be a logistical nightmare. There's no way we've got more cattle coming. There's no way that we're going to be able to handle it, yet we did.
Absolutely. The futures prices dove Monday and Tuesday, and because they expected the Tyson fire to take a bidder out of the cash market.
Right.
Obviously, that didn't happen because we saw those slaughter numbers go up. So, you know, that feeds into the question. Now, there is some evidence this week we're seeing those box beef prices, they're back off $7, so that's narrowing. But there was a, there's been a 2 or 3 week time frame here where packers have made exorbitant prices. And if they're making good money, you would think they would want cattle. You would think the price of cattle would go up. Those things just don't add up, and I think that's what the secretary is suggesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Davis will back me up on this. It was Tuesday afternoon when we had a caller say, hey, can you make a few comments on what's going on in the cattle market? And I said, you know what, for the first time, and it is highly unusual for me to think this way, but I just was thinking that these packer margins are too high. We need to see more of those dollars making their way down the supply chain, get back to the farm gate. And I obviously there are some thoughts out there at packers and stockyards that this is what we need to see, or at least they're going to investigate and see if that should have been happening as well.
It all comes down to leverage, and the packers had the leverage. And why did they have that? You know, the argument can be made that they had it because too many feeders had formula priced those cattle ahead and had to move them at whatever the price was.
Greg, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chip.
That is Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Davis Michelson, thank you.
You betcha.
Hey, AgriTalk is on location at the Farm Progress Show, brought to you by FMC. FMC, advancing chemistry to advance agriculture.
Save time with Performance Beef. With real-time access from anywhere, it's never been easier to automate feeding, generate real-time closeouts, create accurate invoices, or analyze trends in feed efficiencies, costs, and performance all in one place. Capture every pound, every dollar with Performance Beef. Visit PerformanceLivestockAnalytics.com or follow Performance Beef on Twitter or Facebook for the latest news.
More than ever before, North American ag professionals are looking for partners who prioritize their success and sustainability. That's how everyone grows, and growth is why FMC is here. FMC is dedicated exclusively to chemistry and discovering new methods for its application in the field. That's what makes FMC so uniquely innovative, and the company's ever-expanding pipeline of new technologies, formulations, and application systems so revolutionary. And it drives a straightforward, collaborative approach to business. FMC Crop Protection maximizes your productivity, profitability, and sustainability. It is that simple. Products and pipeline aren't the only reasons people choose FMC. Their core business principles also make FMC a different kind of partner. So does the FMC promise to every customer, advancing chemistry to advance agriculture. Maximize your productivity, profitability, and sustainability with the crop protection partner dedicated to your success from pre-plant to harvest. Choose FMC. Always read and follow all label directions and precautions for use.
Out here, we begin each new day the same way. By saddling up and heading out to interrogate some of the world's toughest secret keepers. They're never gonna tell us that they don't feel right. And that's one secret we just can't afford to have between us. I know when we find them, we can fix them. Because if there's one thing better than having a secret, it's having a secret weapon. Suprevo.
For more information, visit usa.suprevo.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
You can't see us, and we can't see you, so don't go changing. Listen just the way you are to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Thank you so much for joining us at the 2019 Farm Progress Show down in Decatur, Illinois. And thank you big time to FMC for hosting us here on day three of our coverage from the Farm Progress Show. Really appreciate all the efforts. Speaking of FMC, let's go ahead and start this industry spotlight. With us is Drake Copeland, the FMC Technical Manager. Drake, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
All right. Hey, what a mess this year has been. It has been such a challenge to deal with the weed pressures out there. But there are ways to take care of the problems that we've got.
Yes, and you're correct. It's been a tough year for 2019, but we really got to start thinking about 2020.
Good.
Going into the future, there's a lot of ways we can do it, but we're going to have to pull some tools out of the bag that, you know, some folks probably haven't used in a while.
Yeah. Well, what are some of those tools?
Well, you think about all the weeds that are out there. You really start worrying about herbicide resistance. So there's cover crops. There's several things we can do culturally to reduce the amount of herbicides that we apply to control those fields. And then there's other measures we can take to really deplete the soil seed bank. And that's really just getting those plants out before seed is going to be produced and therefore falling into the field for the problems in 2020.
Yeah, whatever we can do to keep from filling up that seed bank, we need to do it this year. There's no question. Because guys are dealing with an issue that so many of them have never had to deal with before, and that's that prevent plant or those large areas of drowned out spots in fields. Not only just sitting there doing nothing this year but growing weeds can hurt them for next year, But that's where your seed bank is getting filled up, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, with FMC, we have a lot of residual products. So that's kind of our take on this message is, you know, we want to control that seed before it becomes a weed. So if we can implement residuals into whatever they're doing, they're going to be successful. It's just, will they, you know, spend in the money? There's a lot of other caveats that goes into that. But I think 2020 is going to be the year where we really need to be on top of it.
Could be ground zero.
Absolutely.
2020 could be.
And you mentioned weeds being in fields that are just abandoned, and there's other problems that come in, like insects that can, you know, thrive in that and then produce for the next year. There's generations. You could have some potential issues in the soil that we're not seeing up top, where we got to think about our insecticides, you know, in furrow.
Right, right. But, boy, taking some extraordinary measures this year, even if you've got to go out into some of those flooded out, ground out areas in a field, cut the weeds out, put them in a bag, take them to someplace and burn them. That's fine. Put the effort in, get it done. I've seen crews out on crop tour. I saw crews out cutting weeds out of fields. I haven't seen that for years.
It's funny you bring that up. I was in Western Ohio, and I actually confirmed a field that had Palmer amaranth in it. And the grower had not seen the weed, but he Googled it. And within 10 minutes, him and his son and I were pulling the weeds, putting them in trash bags and taking them out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, anything specific that guys should be doing this fall to get ready for next spring?
Yeah, I think specifically I mentioned cover crops. Yep. That's always a good option. It's sustaining our herbicides, and I'm all for it. But if you're in a situation where you don't have that and you've got a lot of biomass out there, mowing that down and maybe tillage after that, and then deploying a residual herbicide. We've got Authority XL and Authority MTZ that we can put down in the fall, control those winter annuals, and then when the spring and summer comes, we get those summer annuals emerging, and we're going to have activity on those as well. And then we can come in season with Anthem Max, which has peroxysulfone in it, a really good product to have in the soil. The weed seed germination zone, specifically of those tough weeds like the amaranth species, Palmer amaranth and water hemp, right? So that's a good option there.
Good stuff, Drake. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
All right, that is Drake Copeland, FMC Technical Manager. All right, Davis, we talked about it at the start of the show. It's not very often that we have a conversation with a filmmaker here on AgriTalk, but we're going to do it right now.
I can't wait.
Sam Goldberg with Blood Orange Pictures is joining us right now. Sam, it's good to see you. How are you?
Great, Chip. How you doing?
I'm doing real fine. Sam, you got to tell me, what is a New York-based film company doing making a film called Silo?
Well, sitting here listening to Drake talk, it's kind of a learning experience, right? I got into the movie industry because it's fun. You get to travel a lot. Get to go to a lot of different places, learn new things. First movie I developed took place in Morocco. I never went there, but hoped I was going to live there. The second one I developed was really this one, Silo. I originally thought I'd be making New York-based films, but met a director who introduced me to the subject of grain entrapment. We worked to develop a script. We did a lot of research and development, spent time with ag professors, fire rescue workers, and farmers. Kind of fell in love with farm country. My wife and I are contemplating a move out of New York City now so we can get some more space, some more breathing room. Yep. And we're here at Farm Progress Show doing something unique.
Yeah. So you premiered the film here, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
What's been the reception, the reaction to the film so far?
Yeah, it's been great. If any morning's any indication of, if any morning of this morning's any indication of the word of mouth that's happening, you know, things are going well. People are talking about the movie. Farmers are walking out saying thank you. You know, I have a friend who died in a grain entrapment. Yeah. My brother was rescued in a grain entrapment. Yeah. Seems everybody, even if it's a very niche kind of visceral accident, seems way too many people kind of fall victim to it for something that's quite preventable. So it's resonating, you know, emotionally and in terms of, you know, farm safety, it's getting out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the comment that I made at the start of the show, Sam, was it is a happening that has happened to too many families, too many communities across the Midwest, and it impacts those families, but it impacts the community so deeply when something like this, when you do lose a farm worker in a grain bin.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I mean, the movie's about community. I remember when I first met the director, I said, you know, distill it down into a word. What's the movie about? He said community. because when he first started researching it, you know, you talk to people about it, you know, vast majority of these fire chiefs are volunteer.
Yep.
They show up, they know the victim, they know the family, they know the farmer. All of a sudden, everybody's embroiled in something that is quite horrible. And so financially, what it does to the farm, obviously emotionally, what it does to the community, it ripples out. And the movie is really about that. You know, not everybody necessarily gets along in the same space, but they've got to put aside their differences. They got to unite. They got to figure out a way to get him out of a bin. Because, I mean, think about it. You're 50 feet up in the air with a million of pounds of corn bearing in on you. How are you going to do that? So it's quite cinematic. That's the, my original draw to it was, wow, this is an interesting idea. Yeah. I never heard of this. This will make a good movie. And now it's become something more. It's become about the community that helped us make the movie. Now here at Farm Progress and Beyond, it's about the community helping us get it out into the world and across the country and hopefully, you know, internationally as well.
Yeah, well, obviously, if you said that you're contemplating that move, making this film has had an impact on you.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that, to be honest. My experience with agriculture went as far as shopping in the supermarket, pretty much.
Yeah.
And this has given me a great appreciation for the technological and financial know-how that Drake was just discussing, that you were just discussing, that farmers have. I don't think people in big cities have the right vision and perspective on what people in agriculture actually do day to day.
Right.
And the stresses they're under. The amount they have to manage in their brains, on paper, out in the fields. And then, furthermore, the dangers of what it takes to literally fuel the planet. So my perspective on just people has changed. And then lifestyle-wise, you know, we have a young daughter wondering whether or not a big, fast-moving city is for us. That's a separate discussion outside of this. But working on this movie opened my brain up to other options, for sure.
But, I think your brain is in the right position right now.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
How hard is it to make an independent film and be successful with it?
Oh, boy. How much time do we have?
Yeah.
it's
got to be such a challenge.
Yeah, you know, you're managing 40 to 50 in crew. You never have enough money. You never have enough time. This is a small independent film. We're not a studio movie. So we had, you know, very, very little money in terms of what we were able to accomplish.
Right.
The only way we were able to make this movie good was because we had partners in ag. You know, we worked with the Kentucky Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
A bunch of volunteer fire departments in Kentucky. They showed up with fire trucks. They showed up with firemen. They pointed out what we were doing right and wrong. We shot on Affinity Farms in Kentucky. We took over their lives for like a month and a half in New Haven. They let us do everything. They moved trucks. They gave us advice. They worked with our actors. And then we shot a bit in Iowa as well, and the Sukup Manufacturing Company there built grain bin sets inside of an airplane hangar where we pretended to engulf actors in corn. Not a simple feat. They were our engineering partner. Totally brilliant. We have all this behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, it was unique. So very hard day-to-day. It's stressful. You're managing a company. But we were definitely embraced by the community in such a way that made it kind of easier. And then every day you talk to somebody who says they knew somebody in a grain entrapment and says, thanks. Yep. Oh, you're from New York. Thanks for depicting our way of life authentically. It's fuel. Keeps you moving. So it was difficult, but this has been an unbelievable
experience. So how do you get in front of people?
Yeah. So we're doing a unique distribution campaign with the film. We're not a huge movie, as I said, so we can't get into every theater in the country. So people go to silothefilm.com. It says host a screening right when you show up. You click it. We'll get back to you. We'll figure out how to bring a screening to your town. Silothefilm.com. We're working with community organizers to get the movie all across the country.
Thanks for doing it.
Oh, thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
Sam, I appreciate you very much. It was great to meet you. I can't wait until we get to sit and have another conversation.
Yeah, got to come see the movie. Come over to the tent.
You know I will. You know I will.
Thanks,
all
Chip.
Right.
Appreciate
Thank you so much. That is Sam. Jeez, I got to get
Goldberg.
The last. Goldberg. Jeez. It's been a long day already. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more AgriTalk from FMC in just a moment.
Some things are just better done in the dark, like sleeping, sleep talking,
hello, polka dots,
sleep walking. Farming in the dark is not one of those things, but that's exactly what you're doing when you don't ask for the meal and oil levels of the soybeans you produce. Because, hey, your processor knows, and so do their buyers. Stop farming in the dark. You'll sleep better.
No, it's across the...
A message from the Soy Checkoff. Yeah. Click to find out more.
Now I'm going to the store.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Cedar Falls.
Time for Markets
Joining
Now.
Us.
You got us?
Go for it, Davis.
Let's see who we got today. Brian Grady now joins us from Pro Farmer. Brian, what's going on with these markets today?
Well, Davis, you know, we're up about a penny or two in the corn market, but actually that's trading near session lows. So, okay. You know, the weekly export sales were solid, indicating that there's good foreign buying underneath the market after the sharp price break. But what we aren't seeing is good paper demand above the market at this point in time. So that we need to see some of that. The funds are still comfortably short at this point, not responding to the cool forecast. So we'll see what happens going into the long holiday weekend and coming out of it. We have first notice day for September contracts tomorrow and obviously ahead of the long weekend. So some potential for fireworks tomorrow. So far, it's relatively calm in the corn market. The bean market, a little bit more excitable today with to the tune of 4 to 6 cents with the gains there. Wheat is the dog, and it's under some pressure this morning. Not a lot, but still trading lower.
Sure. We've been watching this cattle market, especially the fat cattle, looking for the market to place a bottom here. We're higher today.
Yeah, modest gains. You know, not a real lot of buyer interest there, and I think still waiting on active cash trade to develop. So far, we've seen kind of a mixed tone in the early cash indications. The hog market, moderate to strong gains there. I think you can tie that back to strong weekly export sales for pork. You know, Japan, Mexico were big buyers. China showed up as a small buyer for the week.
Great. Brian Grady from Pro Farmer, thanks for joining us this morning on Markets Now. Stick around, everybody, for more AgriTalk right after these words.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
So, Davis, when we were talking with Sam Goldberg, there at the end of the conversation with Sam, I was a little, my brain was going a million miles an hour there.
Yeah.
Because he had mentioned Affinity Farms where they shot Silo.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know who Affinity Farms is? It's Quint Pottinger.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's been on the Farmer Forum
you know,
half a dozen times at least.
I've talked to Quint,
We've known Quint for a long time. He's a good friend of the show.
We're going to have to ask him about that next time we talk to him.
You know we are. You know we are. Absolutely.
Movie stars.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. We're live at the 2019 Farm Progress Show down in Decatur, Illinois. AgriTalk is on location at the Farm Progress Show, brought to you by FMC. FMC, advancing chemistry to advance agriculture. And speaking of that, let's go with this industry spotlight. Joining us is Nick Hustady. He is the FMC technical manager. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Chip.
All right. We were talking with Drake earlier. It's been a very uncharacteristic year in trying to control the weeds, but disease control has been just as challenging and difficult.
Yeah, so when we think about just the disease pressure we've been dealing with, you know, we had a lot of moisture early.
Yeah.
We really thought that, you know, gray leaf spot, some of those typical corn diseases would get going earlier in the season. And just evaluating trials, you know, V10, we had plenty of lesions out there. Had a bit of a dry spell in July there, right, 3 weeks, and it kind of slowed that disease progression down. And I think with the recent rainfall patterns, we're going to see that kind of pick up.
Right. You know, the delayed maturity of the crop, has that also delayed the manifestation of some of these diseases out there?
Yeah, so we're kind of a month behind
in
terms of planting date and just kind of where we're seeing the progression take place. One thing we think about when we consider late planting is that we're more likely to see disease get going earlier in the crop life cycle. Yeah. So we kind of consider it a race to maturity. Are we going to see the disease win the race or the crop win the race? And really what we want to do is try to get that crop to win the race and optimize that yield potential.
Yeah.
A lot of times it takes protecting it with a fungicide.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Give that crop a little bit more time and a little more life. Is the disease season over for this year, or do you think we've still got some time left in it?
Depends a little bit on the crop and just the life cycle's growth stage. In terms of corn, I think we're probably a little bit late on most of these acres. We do have some double crop soybeans in the southern part of my territory, and we are starting to see more frog eye leaf spot get going in those fields. So what I'm telling growers is that if you have a susceptible variety out there and we're starting to see some frog eye leaf spot lesions manifest, certainly it would be a consideration to apply a fungicide, but it's kind of a risk-reward type of scenario where we have to consider that yield potential as well.
Right. Okay. Have you got a couple of fungicides that are really performing well this year?
Yeah. So Lucento is a new fungicide that we launched this season. It's a premix of flutriafol, which is a triazole chemistry. It's kind of the backbone of a lot of our fungicide concepts in row crops. Long-lasting, really systemic molecule. We premixed it with Bixafen, which is a new carboxamide SDHI fungicide, so broad-spectrum activity, two modes of action, so we're kind of doing a better job of addressing maybe that strobilurin-resistant frog eye leaf spot. There are some indications of Septoria brown spot that is also kind of struggling in terms of managing it with the strobilurins.
Right. Last year, we felt like we were learning a lesson about frog eye for this year. Are we learning any lessons this year for next year?
I think so. What we typically consider when we're making our fungicide management plans are the previous seasons, right? We can start to pick out some of those repeat offenders, so to speak, fields. And we also think about tillage, too. So if we're in a no-till or conserve-till type of an environment, we got more residue up top. The inoculum is going to be in that residue. And especially if we're planting a susceptible hybrid or variety, we certainly have to be mindful of our disease pressure and just progression over the season, because the more lesions that occur, the more leaf area that's taken out, a lot of times we're going to see a yield loss because that plant can no longer collect that sunlight and produce the carbohydrates to fill the grain.
Gotcha. Nick, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate being on.
All right. That is Nick Hustetti. He is the FMC technical manager and with us here at the Farm Progress Show. Joining us now is Bill Lee. Bill is the vice president, right?
Correct.
Of the Illinois Corn Growers?
Correct.
You've had an interesting year in Illinois, haven't you?
It's been a challenge.
Holy smokes. You guys have dealt with things that you guys have never had to deal with before in this state.
Well, it's as my dad, who's 92, said, it's kind of one of the more curious springs we've ever seen.
More curious springs. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Hi, Dave. It's good to see you. How are you?
Very nice to see you again.
All right. Dave Luce is the Director of Technology and Business Development for the Illinois Corn Growers. Hey, guys, there are some big players here at the Farm Progress Show. We had Secretary Sonny Perdue. We had AFBF President Zippy Duvall. Sonny got the phone call yesterday from President Trump while on stage. Do you like what you're hearing?
Well, I was at the breakfast with Secretary, and he said a lot of good things that sounded good. The administration sounds like they're trying to rectify some of the stress that's on the farm community out here. So we're hopeful that we need to see some details, and I guess there's an announcement going to be made tomorrow, possibly. The president is going to come
soon.
Up. I think that's what we saw.
Tomorrow or next week.
Or next
possibly.
Week soon.
There's probably no real deadline or schedule for this, but we keep saying, you know, it's coming, it's coming.
Yeah, well,
but
guys,
we're getting a little impatient.
I tell you what, I talked to Zippy Duvall yesterday morning to play back on the show at like 2:15 yesterday afternoon. And before we left, I said, now, could this announcement happen before, you know, between the conversation and before it goes there? Because it does. It feels like it's imminent that they're going to announce something. What are they going to announce, Dave?
Well, what we're hoping that they announce is that they're going to reallocate these gallons that they've waived for the small refiners. And they've been doing that since 2016.
Yep.
And it's costing us gallons. It's costing us value in the marketplace. It's a serious issue with farmers, and now it's a very, very serious issue with the ethanol industry. They've been losing money for the last 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, well,
some of them are closing down. So we want these gallons reallocated as
absolutely
quickly as possible. They have an excellent opportunity to do that this November for 2020.
Yeah.
Also, for the last several years, they've owed us 500 million gallons
yeah
that the court
yep
ordered EPA to restore several years ago.
Exactly.
And they haven't done it.
This would be a huge win.
It would be helpful. There are more things we would like to get out of that.
Sure.
There's some standards that the EPA doesn't necessarily recognize that USDA has for various impediments for expanded use of ethanol in foreign markets as well as domestic.
Right, right. But with the RFS being a domestic policy, if we can just get them to reallocate.
Right. It's the intent of the law.
Right.
And we're not
thank
going
you
with the intent of the law.
Exactly. It's the intent of the law. It is the law. It's the intent of the people that wrote the dadgum bill.
Yep.
Yep. And it's so frustrating, so frustrating. Trade issues, do you like what you're hearing so far, conversation down here on trade issues?
It sounds like USMCA. It's a political will within
yeah
Congress of when that's going to happen. Everybody's saying it's a win-win for all the consumers, the growers, the labor, everybody involved. It's just a better version of NAFTA.
Right.
So we hope that the political will on Washington will happen, that we can get it through the House,
right,
and get it, or the president can introduce it and it can go through the process and be ratified soon.
Yeah.
Sooner the better.
Yeah. Dave, it sounds like if we can get Speaker Pelosi to take the bill to the House floor, it's going to pass.
Well, it's in her hands, and we've had some very positive comments from our congressional delegation in Illinois that are generally very supportive of passing this. They know how important it is for agriculture. It's very important to our manufacturer industry in Illinois, Caterpillar, John Deere, others in Illinois. So I think the will is there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Congress is so divided on so many issues, they're letting some of this interfere with
yeah
what really needs to be done for the good of the country.
Yeah. You know, Bill, I know that National Corn, Iowa Corn, Illinois Corn, working hard to maintain those relationships with the buyers out of Mexico.
We're working diligently at it. We're spending a lot of time and effort with the U.S. Grains Council. Our marketing board is supplying funds to help these things happen, whether it be DDGs or
yep
or ethanol to Japan has been a big one. But, you know, Mexico's our number one corn
yep
importer. Canada's our number one ag importer.
Yep.
I mean, they're important markets that we need to maintain and we need to open up better. That it helps us all out, and ag needs a win in here.
Yeah, I am so impressed with the effort that has taken place, because Mexico does not feel ignored in this whole negotiation, trade negotiation at all, because boy, groups like the Illinois Corn Growers have gone out of your way to make sure that that wasn't going to happen.
Well, they are, like I said earlier, number one. We've
yep
just opened up, we think, a big portion of ethanol in production for them. They're have decided to go to an E10 and move out of MTBE, and that's a big market that could be a large export market. We can take complete fuels out of train loads right down to Mexico out of Texas.
This is a potential 7-8 billion gallon market, isn't it?
David, well, the Mexican market's about a 1.2 billion gallon
oh
market,
okay,
which would be
okay
very, very significant. And once the three major cities of Mexico are allowed to use E10, I think that market's going to open up. There's been a lot of work by the Grains Council and agriculture, corn growers, the ethanol industry to get that market ready to go. And I think once the Mexican government makes a decision to open up that
yep
those three big cities, we're going to be shipping ethanol.
You guys, thanks for letting us invade your state. Really yep appreciate it. Bill Lee, yep VP of Illinois Corn Growers. Dave Luce, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Illinois
Chip
Corn Growers. We'll be right back. at FMC and the Farm Progress Show on AgriTalk.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The world's largest totally irrigated working farm show. Irrigation and so much more. Make your plans to be in Grand Island, Nebraska for the 42nd annual Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th. Get more information at huskerharvestdays.com. There'll be more than 600 exhibitors at the nation's most modern outdoor farm show site. Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th at Grand Island, Nebraska.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
We're talking today with Dr. Raymond Stegeman, practicing and consulting veterinarian at Osage Veterinary Clinic in St. Thomas, Missouri. Dr. Stegeman, tell me about your practice and what the keys are to its success.
I've been a food animal veterinarian for 31 years. I own a mixed animal practice in St. Thomas, Missouri. Keys to success of the practice have been working with producers to make sure they're profitable through the herd health and management of their animals and nutrition as well.
BRDs, a lot of cost right there. What is the cost?
In general, on BRD, the real cost is not the deads, it's actually the loss in performance. So we can have an 8% increase in production costs, and our average daily gain can drop as much as 0.3 pounds per day, which over time, you know, definitely causes a reduction in hog carcass weight.
In your area, what organisms are causing the BRDs?
Number one organism that's causing problems would be Manhemia hemolytica, which causes the most death loss. Histophilus is one of those diseases that causes problems. It's kind of in the background, but it is a nagging problem that can cause BRD as well as sudden death from myocarditis.
What should cattlemen and pen riders be looking for when identifying animals to be pulled?
We like to approach a pen and look at the pen before they're disturbed and look the animals over, see who's paying attention to us. There's a lot of subtle signs you can look for when pen riding.
How do you select a specific antibiotic treatment protocol?
We're looking for a rapid treatment response. We want those calves back on feed. We want them back in the pen eating and just a quick response to treatment. The quicker we can get them back on feed, the lower losses we sustain. So we will have better gains if we can get get that calf treated and back on feed quicker.
Thank you, Dr. Stegeman. Learn more about managing and treating BRD by talking to your Merck Animal Health representative or visiting usa.zuprevo.com.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
And welcome back to AgriTalk and FMC at the 2019 Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. Thank you so much to FMC for making it possible for us to bring you coverage. AgriTalk on location at the Farm Progress Show is brought to you by FMC. FMC, advancing chemistry to advance agriculture. Wow, we've learned a lot, had some great conversations while we're down here, and I always look forward to these conversations with Matt Youngman, the National Events Director for Farm Progress. Matt, you couldn't have strung together three better days than what you did this year.
It is unbelievable. It was, you know, you can't write a prescription for a better three-day event than what we got. We prepaid for some of that with the rain that we had during setup, but you know what? It is way better. You know, dust is better than rain.
Yeah.
Wind is better than rain. Heat is better than rain. But to get what we've had has just been amazing.
Yeah. Yesterday, I don't know if I did see the thermometer get to 80 degrees.
Right.
It was bumping right up against it. There was a nice breeze blowing, and there were people everywhere here yesterday, Matt.
So at about 3:30 yesterday afternoon, I took a drive around the section, basically, to take a look at. I basically ran inside the roads to see how far, and the overflow lot was full. The west parking lot was full. We were three quarters full at the south lot, and you know, if corn was at 550, I don't know if we'd have held it all with all the visitors we had, because we had, even in a down economy, to have that kind of turnout, that kind of activity. You know, you've got country music stars and NASCAR stars and Secretary of Ag and Donald Trump calling in, and we had fantastic field demonstrations. You know, an eighth of a mile of people 10 deep watching the field demonstrations go through. It was just, you know, that's what we do all this work for. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes the lightning strikes, and sometimes we clear the grounds, and sometimes we're dragging semis and buses through mud, but when it goes right, it sure is satisfying.
It pays off.
Yes, sir. Absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's when it gets satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're doing it for. And, you know, these exhibitors that put so much time and effort. I mean, okay,
this tent.
We're here thanks to FMC, right? And we're looking here. I think FMC is serious about being in this business.
Really?
This is amazing. This is a beautiful, beautiful exhibit they have done. And from a guy who knows what it takes to put something like this together, there have been a lot of people working really, really, really hard on making something this beautiful come together. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. And while this is an awesome display, awesome environment for people from FMC to have conversation with producers, several companies have stepped it up this year, in my opinion.
Yeah. And same thing. You could say the same thing in terms of the AV and that kind of thing. If you look at AGCO, that Fendt deal is just something
unbelievable.
And you know, it's like your children. I love all my children exactly the same, but there's 600 exhibitors out here, all of whom have taken a step forward to make a better exhibit. And I can't be more proud to be part of something like that than I am.
Yeah, all right, very cool. Sam Goldberg from Blood Orange Pictures and the Silo movie was with us earlier, Matt. And you've had a chance to see that movie, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And you know, it was kind of who wouldn't want to be part of a real-life Hollywood movie being unveiled at the Farm Progress Show?
Right.
But at the same time, this is a fun event. You walked around the show yesterday, and there's smiling faces everywhere.
Yep.
It's not necessarily a Field of Dreams type movie that's an uplifting Midwest story.
Right.
It's a drama, and you know, it deals with the gritty facts.
It's deep
factual,
and dark.
Right, factual truth of grain entrapments.
Right.
And they do a very good job of recreating what is a very, very bad thing. But as we were talking off air, I got to see that in June, just as soon as we got done planting, and we started hauling grain to the river. And I thought differently when I watched people climb up into bins because I had seen that movie. So if it can do that for the farmers, and if it can go out to the coasts,
yes,
and make people a little bit aware of,
give them a glimpse
of the price that gets paid by some people to keep them fed, I am all on board. And so certainly appreciate the work that he did to make that happen.
Well, and it it seems like he started out after with the idea that I'm going to make this really intriguing movie.
Yep.
And he kind of got caught up in it himself, in the yep. community and what it all is, this farming business.
Well, and he's a New York City person. He didn't have any idea that this was going on. So then he goes out and learns more and more and more and figures out that guys like you or me are the firefighters in our local little towns, and that they're farming, they're feeding the country, they're creating the biggest exports that this country has to bank on, and we're fighting our own fires and protecting our own neighbors. And you know, he's developed a very deep respect for what happens out here in the Midwest. And to you and me, it's just Tuesday. It's not a big deal. But to him, it's kind of a hero story.
Exactly.
So that's kind of cool to be part of that.
All right. You're almost done with this one.
Yep. Let's
go. You got another one coming up,
maybe,
dude.
Maybe get 3 or 4 hours of sleep and off to Husker Harvest Days. Let's go do this deal again. Yeah, this whole traveling road show, all this stuff that's really cool that's here is going to get loaded onto trucks tonight, and they'll make part of the way to Nebraska, and then there'll be a big invasion in Grand Island, Nebraska tomorrow, and the setup will start. We'll get that going. I'll go repack my clothes, and we'll go do this again. Yeah. If you know, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity. If anybody's in the, you know, if you're a Farm Progress Show Midwestern kind of guy and you've never been to Husker, if you've got cattle or you've got any kind of irrigation,
well,
Husker's your show.
See, that's where I was going to go, because there you get into areas where we usually get our 30 inches of rain,
right.
But more and more guys are looking at putting up some irrigation as insurance.
If you've got creek bottom, or you've got a specialty crop, or you've got seed corn, or you know, there's a lot of people that have a reason to maybe try to go and as insurance too. You know, I'm not sure that I in Western Illinois am going to be growing consistent 400 bushel corn unless I have a grid pattern tile and irrigation so that I can just give it everything, you know, basically ensure it's got a really good living environment. So I find Husker, Farm Progress Show is great. Husker is, I love Husker.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite shows of the year too. And the permanent displays that are out there in Grand Island are really something to see.
They're beautiful, and they got better this year. We had more buildings go up. So September 10th, 11th, 12th. Just west of Grand Island, Nebraska. If you're not ready to pick corn yet, you got to get in cabin fever, come join us out there.
Yeah, cool stuff. Great job this week.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you for your time and for having me chase you around all week.
Oh, man, no problem. You know I'd do it anytime.
No more cars off the loading dock. We can all go home.
That's right. Davis, we've got one more hour of coverage from the Farm Progress Show down in Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody at FMC for making a great show this morning. We'll be right back in Rabo this afternoon for the final hour of AgriTalk.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
For more than 40 years, Sullivan Auctioneers has been conducting professional, fast-paced live auctions. They connect their sellers with thousands of interested buyers around the world. Visit SullivanAuctioneers.com to view their full calendar of upcoming auctions, including complete listings and detailed photos. Sullivan's are one of the largest real estate and farm machinery auctioneers in the nation and will travel anywhere, state to state, coast to coast. Considering an auction? Call Sullivan's at 217-847-2160 or send an email to sold@SullivanAuctioneers.com.